141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It could be another big night in the title race as Celtic host Hearts and Rangers head to Kilmarnock. St Mirren hope to move away from danger when they travel to Livingston, while Motherwell try to reclaim third at St Johnstone. Aberdeen are the best of the rest at the moment after finding the goal scoring touch at Hamilton. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi.
Yeah, another big midweek in the title race, Gordon, as you said. Rangers going down to Kilmarnock, Rugby Park, never an easy place to go to, particularly at the moment. Alex Dyer's team finding a bit of form, keeping clean sheets. And for Celtic, the visit of Hearts to Parkhead, and it's one that you would expect Celtic to win comfortably. And I think one of the interesting things tonight will be the kind of team that Daniel Stendel picks. Does he go for it tonight and try and get some, or does he rest four or five key players, considering that Hamilton go to Tynecastle on Saturday, which is a massive game for them? And for Aberdeen, we know we've got a lot of Aberdeen supporters that listen to the programme. Three goals in the first half last night. What a weight off the shoulders of Derek McInnes and his players. It was badly needed, and they'll be hoping that that result and performance kicks them on for the next few weeks.
Yeah, you hear a lot of times, Gordon, people mention the term football integrity, the integrity of the game. But if Hearts go there to change their team, as Mark has just said there, I'm sure the Rangers fans will be less than impressed by that. But he's got to look after his own team. He's got to, he thinks that's a bigger game for him on Saturday. Then he's got to do what he thinks is best for Hearts. But nevertheless, I still expect it to be a weakened team. But any team that they put out, I don't think would be good enough to beat Celtic, I have to be honest with you. And Rangers going down to the Kilmarnock is an extremely tough tie. They don't like going there, they don't like the surface, and Kilmarnock have improved in the last couple of weeks.
Five big games in the Premiership tonight. Are you going along? Are you going to sit back and watch it on TV or listen on radio? Doesn't really matter. We'd love to hear from you either way. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now. We're a bit away from getting the team news, so it's the perfect time to tell us who you would play, who shouldn't play, who should drop out, who should come back in, all of the usual match day questions, maybe a couple of injury doubts for Rangers. Celtic starting to get people back, but that makes the team selection maybe even more difficult. So let us know what you're thinking ahead of tonight's games right now. 0141 951 1025. Let's start going around some of the grounds. Let's start closest to home. Celtic against Hearts. Alison Conroy's there.
Good evening, Gordon, from Celtic Park, where it's absolutely freezing, as you'd expect, and now the rain is pouring down as well. Top v bottom here, Daniel Stendel trying to work out how to be just the second Scottish side this season to beat Celtic and try and edge closer to getting off the foot of the Scottish Premiership. Near Beaton and Habtem Abdelhamid are back in training with Celtic, but tonight is probably a little bit too soon for them. Hearts, they could be without John Souter. He's got an ankle problem, and Daniel Stendel insists he won't be risked if he isn't 100%. Gordon, I should have the team news about 6:30.
Yeah, I feel like it is that time of the year, or it's appropriate that we get a proper weather update. You're part-time sports reporter, part-time weather girl, if that's all right. Sorry to put that title on you. What, everything okay? The pitch okay? What are the surroundings like for anyone who's heading
the
along?
Pitch looks absolutely fantastic. It looks brilliant. The rain is pouring down. Outside it seems absolutely fine as well, apart from the fact it's bitterly, bitterly cold.
That's
in that
fine.
Wind, Gordon. But just lots of layers and you'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, we can just about handle that. I was just wondering if any of the football or those going along would be affected. What about at Kilmarnock against Rangers, Andrew McLean?
Yeah, well, I'll continue with the weather duties. It's nice and calm here, actually, a bit cold, but it is nice and calm, a lot calmer than the weekend, so that'll be something that I'm sure a lot of the supporters and the players will be looking forward to in this one. Of course, Rangers haven't had their troubles to seek here in recent times at Rugby Park, but this is another game that they'll feel they just cannot afford to drop any points. They've only won once in their last four visits here, but that win did come on the opening day of this season. You might remember that Conor Goldson header in the last minute of the game to give them all 3 points. Both managers have said in the lead-up to this game that they feel their teams are getting back to their usual set. Rangers had a good second half against Hibs and Hamilton in their last two outings. Kilmarnock, they were on a bit of a horrible run, weren't they? But up until the last couple of weeks, they've done all right. Two wins and a draw from their last three matches. So Alex Dyer will feel a bit more confident about how they're going as well. As for sort of early team news, Borna Barisic, he's facing a late fitness test to see whether he'll be able to play in this one. Ryan Jack is back in the squad for Rangers. He's missed our last four matches. As for Kilmarnock, Chris Burke, he sat out of their draw with Aberdeen on Saturday, but he should be back available tonight.
There we go then. There's a couple of questions for you to kick things off. Rangers fans, how important is it that Borna Barisic makes it tonight? If he doesn't, who are you sticking in his place? And does Ryan Jack come straight back into the team? I know he has been widely regarded as one of Rangers' most important players by you in the opening stages of the season. So do you bring him back in, and at whose expense? 0141 951 1025. We're waiting on the Celtic team news as well. You can take one each if you like to mark the points we just made there. All of a sudden, Borna Barisic has become very important for Rangers.
Yeah, it is, because a lot of Rangers play in terms of going forward as the fullbacks. You know, Tavernier on one side, Barisic on the other, allows Kent to come inside. Although I think Kent, you know, does enjoy hugging the touchline if he's given that role. But just on the question that you put out there for the listeners, Gordon, Ryan Jack, for me, back in the starting lineup all day long tonight, particularly at Rugby Park, Wednesday night, cold night. He's exactly the kind of player that I think Rangers want in the middle of the park. You look at in there, you know, Kilmarnock are solid. They've got power. They've got Dicker. They might have McKenzie or whoever floating about in that wee area as well, and behind Brophy, or they might go with the two up front. But certainly, I would have Ryan Jack in the starting 11 all day long.
And hopefully, the listeners will answer these questions, Jim. But for Celtic at the moment, I'm sensing most people enjoying 3-5-2.
Yeah.
I think most people like the partnership between Griffiths and Edouard. What does that mean? Is Ryan Christie, is he just a sub all of a sudden? Is he ever going to force his way back in? Because if it's not broke, don't fix it and all that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of competition at a top level, and it keeps everybody playing at a high standard. You know, we've heard the Neil Lennon and Scott Brown recently waxing lyrical about Olivier and Cham's form. And that's because he knows that if he drops anything at all, any level whatsoever, then Ryan Christie will be back in there. But I think, I mean, McGregor and Brown are absolute certainties, and it's just that other one. And you've got Hincham, Christie, Rogic. I mean, those three players are exceptional players. Have to make that choice. It's very difficult for any manager. But at the moment, Hincham is the one that's getting the nod. And Ryan Christie, unfortunately, because he was out of the team, is going to have to just keep working hard to try and get back in there. But yeah, I expect him to stay with the three, if the three centre-backs are fit. That's always a key to Celtic. Siminovic in particular seems to be the one that has little aches and pains now and again. But if they've got the three available, I think he'll stick with it, particularly at Celtic Park when, you know, the width of the pitch, as Alisson just said there, the pitch is magnificent. It's slick, the rain on it, they can move the ball quickly. And that partnership up front has been a revelation.
And I've got the words of one of last week's callers ringing in my ears, where he said that he felt Yanis Hadji's winner against Hibs was the goal that kept Rangers in the title race. Is that where we are? Are we at that stage where Could Rangers handle another swing, if you like, if it wasn't to go to plan tonight and Celtic were to get the points at home? Is how much more difficult does that make things?
I would really fear for Rangers if they dropped any more points before the next Old Firm game on March the 15th.
Assuming that Celtic keep winning,
Keep winning. But I think that I'm not quite sure if Rangers managed to get their game in hand and in time, Gordon, before that. I'm not sure how the fixture are going. I think it's after
that,
isn't it?
I think so.
So I think that they need to go in that having won every game. If, for example, the gap was to go to 9 points with a game in hand, you know, there's a hell of a lot of pressure to go and beat Celtic at Ibrox, and I think you need to beat them anyway. If you're going to be realistically think you can win the title, you need to beat Rangers. You need to beat Celtic at Ibrox on March the 15th. But dropping any more points, I would never say it's the end, because there's a lot of twists and turns to come. Probably a lot of squeaky bum time. It'll be really, really nervy for whichever team's going to get over the line. But I think if you were Steven Gerrard and the players, you'd be really, really concerned if any more points were dropped.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. This is your chance to have your say on all of tonight's action. Who would you pick for your team? How do you see tonight's games going, I should say? Andrew is first up. Andrew is from Somerston. What's on your mind tonight, Andrew?
Yeah, good evening, panel. My question's to Jim, really. Steven Gerrard was quoted at the weekend after the game saying that Alfredo Morelos is undefendable. And I don't think there's anybody more qualified to answer that than Jim Duffy, because in my opinion, in his playing days, Jim Duffy was Scottish football's second best defender that we had. So I'd like to get Jim's opinion on that.
Thanks, Andrew. You must have a really good memory, mate. But
who was number one? Just out of curiosity.
No, we don't need to worry about number one, right? We don't need to worry about number one.
Who was the best?
No, listen, Andrew. I mean, Alfredo Morelos, I mean, we had a kind of debate thing on the programme over the last few weeks about, you know, level of strikers. You know, at this moment in time, there's no doubt that Edouard is, you know, the best all-round striker in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But as I said, it's Morelos. Without him, I don't think Rangers are even close to Celtic in terms of making a title challenge. And I think that's how important he is. I think when he's up for it, when his head's right, when he enjoys the confrontation of the centre-backs, then he is a very, very difficult player to play against. Listen, you know, there are some managers and some players, I think it was Declan Gallagher last week at Motherwell, said he felt Edouard was unplayable. They use these phrases at times when they have exceptional performances, and Alfredo Morelos has had a few games this season where defenders have found him unplayable, but he has to stay on the pitch and he has to get rid of, you know, the silly aspects of his game. He's been in Scotland long enough now to know the culture, to know, you know, what's expected and what's accepted. But as an all-round striker, yeah, very, very difficult player to play
just
against.
Just purely on a footballing sense, then, the battle that he has had with Kirk Broadfoot in previous times has been one where, you can see it coming a mile off. Kirk Broadfoot, the experienced campaigner, is going to try and wind him up. Morelos' goal-scoring record against Kilmarnock is phenomenal. Yeah. I think it's something like 11-9 against Kilmarnock. Yeah. So they'll know exactly what he can do, and it remains to be seen who's fit enough to play in defence for Kilmarnock tonight.
Yeah, I mean, again, you'll get players who like playing. It just seems to be one of these things, certain opposition. You know, and Kilmarnock certainly one of Alfredo Morelos' favourites. But listen, he's a real talisman for Rangers. There's no question about that. As I said, I think when he's playing at his best, when defenders are really wary of him, then Rangers, the rest of the players, it gives him confidence. You can almost feel them, you know, and see them playing at a different level. But, you know, when he's not available, I think the opposition, I think it's been shown since the turn of the year when he hasn't played, the opposition looking, when Morelos is not in the team, wait a minute, if we keep Rangers wide and say throw the ball in the box, they're not going to give us too many problems. If we keep things in front of us and keep it contact, they're not going to out-muscle us. But when Morelos is there, a definitely different proposition.
You want to come back in, Andrew?
Well, hopefully that weekend has given them confidence and they will go for it tonight. But, you know, clubs like Kamara, it's like Aberdeen when they play Rangers, Celtic, they play Hamilton. These teams, you know, it's like their big cup final and they just go for it with these Celtic and Rangers, you know, and they find it hard to cut them down. But hopefully Rangers will win tonight.
Do you see this as a difficult place to go, Andrew? The form, granted, Stevie Clark was in charge for a lot of those games, but Rangers have struggled against Kilmarnock in the past. Everybody knows about the pitch. It's not a classic night for football either. How difficult do you see it being tonight?
I think it will be very difficult because, you know, the manager they've got to know is under Steve Clark, so he'll take a lot of that into his playing game as well now and drawing into the players. And the pitch, well, the pitch is what the pitch is. I mean, I'm not too happy with Ibrox pitch at the moment as well, right enough for us, another story.
That's true. Stephen Gerrard agrees with you. Would you put Ryan Jack straight back in, Andrew? Is there any doubt about that?
Definitely, and as long as we've got Arfield there in midfield as well, he's a good feeder of the ball and a good attacker and defenders and normally gets the ball on target, you know.
Mark Guidi raises the point earlier, Jim, the real battle when you play Kilmarnock tends to be against Dicker and Power, so you look at Ryan Jack, Is he the most able to get involved and help Rangers out in that department?
Yeah, nah, I don't know. Really, I mean, listen, Ryan Jack, for me, I'm with Mark. He goes in absolutely 100%. If he's fit, he goes in. No doubt whatsoever, him and Davis, if they're fit, to me, they're always going to be the two. And then it's about who you decide alongside them, whether it's, you know, we've now obviously Hadji, Kamara, Arfield, etc. You know, they've other options. But those two, for me, are definites if they're available. I don't mean Dicker and Power are, you know, competitive players, but they're good players as well, you know. But they can put it in when they have to. Obviously, you know, Neil Lennon wasn't too happy with Power's tackle on Frimpong, which has laid him out for a few weeks, and that just shows you that aggressive attitude they do have. But they can play, and they're good players, and I think that Rangers have to move the ball quicker, and psychologically they have to go over that. We heard even Andrew mention it, we've mentioned it, the pitch thing, but it just seems to seep into their head a little bit more. And I think Steve Clark used that to his advantage, both against Rangers and Celtic to a certain, because I think he had a good record against Mauve, didn't he?
Very good, yeah.
You know, but I still think Rangers have got that extra quality, and if, as I said, if Morelos is back to form, which Steven Gerrard seems to think he is, then he could be the difference between picking up 1 point and picking up 3 points.
Andrew, we're waiting on the team news. It won't be too far away. How important is it, do you think, that Borna Barisic makes it for Rangers tonight?
Yeah, it's very important. I remember when he first came in, and I'm like, this isn't the same player, the creation player, you know. And obviously Steven Gerrard, the coaching staff, said a word with him, and his confidence is really back. So it's very important that he plays tonight.
Yeah, I think we saw it on the other side, didn't we, Jim, with James Tavernier. It's because, no disrespect to the guys that come in, even if they play well, they're just different. They're just different types. If it was to be Andy Halliday, if it was to be John Flanagan, they're just different. They just,
yeah, Gordon, you asked us that question, I think, a few weeks ago in the transfer window. You said if Rangers are going to sign anybody, who would? And I said another left back, if Barisic, because I felt he was the only other. They didn't have a natural replacement for him, a natural style. And I still think that. I think if he's missing tonight, you would maybe look at Andy Halliday, because he's better going forward and the way Rangers want to play. But again, he's not a natural, you know, obvious replacement. He doesn't have maybe the acceleration, the pace, and maybe the delivery. So I think that was an area they could have looked at. But if he's not playing, for me, I would rather have Halliday there than perhaps, say, Flanagan get across to the left, although he can, you know, he is a good defender. But then if that did happen, I'm with Mark, then Kent would have to hold the line a little bit more then and try and stretch. Because if he comes in, you know, Rangers won't have the width from the fullback on that side. So for me, I would play Halliday in that area. But obviously Andrew will let us know the team in 20 minutes or so.
You watch a lot of Kilmarnock, Mark Guidi. Just so happened, you know, you tend to be that down that way quite a lot when you're covering games for us. How much of it is going to be about that defence against Alfredo Morelos, trying to stop him? He's obviously Rangers' main attacking threat. Although, having said that, Steven Gerrard happier this week that the burden seems to be lifting a little bit from Morelos and Defoe.
Yeah, it'll be an intriguing battle. You know, Kilmarnock always play with a back four. So, you know, whether it's going to be a partnership of two from three, Broadfoot, Finlay and Del Fabbro, they're both good. You get two very able fullbacks in O'Donnell and Hamalainen, like we said. So listen, it will be an interesting battle. I think Morelos, you know, I've seen about Ryan Jack, Morelos is the same. I think he loves games like this. He loves the battle, he loves the physical element of it. If he can bring these bit of quality, you know what, like, is as soon as he gets a sight and goal, boom, he doesn't mess about. He'll have a shot at goal. You know, he's not thinking them necessarily about playing somebody and like getting it in. What he just wants to
and
go.
And I think that goal
late
against Hamilton was important for him, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Just for any player, just to get back on track, because he hadn't scored obviously since last year. It was his first goal in 2020.
He's needed, as much as he's a strong boy and he's capable. You think everything that's gone on for the past week or so too, because we've not heard from him and he maybe kind of converse in English, it'll be a tough week for him as well. Make no mistake about that. He's been through the mill for one reason or another. So for him to get the goal, but then you look at what can Kilmarnock do to Rangers, and Kilmarnock are very, very able middle to front as well. You know, you've got Chris Buck on fire, absolutely brilliant. Look at his goal last midweek at Tynecastle, outstanding. You've got Eamon Brophy, you know, so I think that Kilmarnock, Kibamba as well. He might go with Brophy and Kibamba together and try something. He might not, but there's certainly good quality in the Kilmarnock team as well. But you would fancy Rangers, considering what's at stake, the quality of player that they have, I would fancy Rangers just to nick it, but it might be a 1-0, Gordon.
Thank you to Andrew, who's a Rangers fan from Somerston. What about you Celtic fans? What are the main considerations tonight? Do you stick with 3-5-2? Do you stick with Griffiths and Edouard? If that's the case, are you happy to keep guys like Ryan Christie on the bench until such times as you need them? Let us know how you're feeling ahead of tonight's home game against Hearts. 01419511025. We'll hear from Neil Lennon and Steven Gerrard next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here, building up to a big night in the Scottish Premiership. Five fixtures tonight, hot on the heels of the one game we had between Hamilton and Aberdeen last night. So we're looking for you to get in touch. Are you going along to the game tonight? Why not give us a call? How confident are you? Have you got that nagging doubt? I know you go a roller coaster of emotions, don't you, before a game. The confidence comes in, a bit of fear sets in, then maybe you get the confidence back. Tell us how you're feeling ahead of kickoff. And just before we get the teams, tell us who you would play for your team tonight. Gary Houston is on. He says, looking forward to seeing another masterpiece performance from Odson Edouard and Olivier Ncham. They would be two. Well, Edouard's the obvious one. I mean, he's the player of the month. It was announced yesterday. And Olivier Ncham, what more can you say than he's keeping Ryan Christie out of the team at the moment?
Yeah, that's what we said earlier on in the programme. I mean, he's found a level of form and consistency. And I said, I personally think it's, yeah, you have to have the ability to do it, but you also have to have the mentality not to be looking in a worried concern over your shoulder, but to be aware that you've got a top class player or players, you know, ready to take your jersey. So your performance levels have to be of a standard that the manager, you know, doesn't contemplate even leaving you, you know. So, and that's been the case. Callum McGregor got a little rest at the weekend against Clyde. You would maybe expect him to come back again. But, I mean, listen, Celtic could change it. They could bring in Christie in rest one. They could bring in Rogic in rest one. And they'll still be more than good enough to win the game, I feel.
Yeah, let's hear from Neil Lennon.
Well, I think they're a good window. You know, they brought in some good players. You know, we'll know Liam Boyce from his time in Ross County. And, you know, I know him as a young boy in Belfast. You know, he's a talented player. You know, Sibic looks like a good find as well. And obviously, under Daniel, there's going to be a new style of play, new principles. And, yeah, I mean, it'll be a test. I think he's a positive, forward-thinking manager. And I think the game may be open.
Let's speak to Robbie, who's a Celtic fan in Glenrothes. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, how you doing?
Not too bad, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, just heading through to the game tonight. Looking forward to it, but I'm a bit worried just the way we've been steamrolling teams, but obviously the way things are going, Hearts are looking good. They're under a new manager, so they've got some talent there trying to rebuild their squad.
Yeah, that's a funny one to assess the challenge from Hearts, because they got the result against Rangers, they signed Liam Boyce, so you kind of think, well, they're on the right track. But it's not quite clicked yet. It's not come to fruition the way people thought.
There's no consistency yet, Gordon. You know, they get a couple of clean sheets, and then they, you know, last midweek they lose at home to Kilmarnock. They're 3-0 down. I thought it was a really good result for them on Saturday night, beating Falkirk in the cup. Difficult.
They were very fortunate. They won.
But I'll say it again, and I've said it many times, and looking at his performance last Wednesday night, they are always going to struggle when they've got a goalkeeper like they've got in Pereira. He's not going to win them points. He's not going to make saves. It's going to change a game. I think, you know, I know Zamal's got his faults as well, but I would have Zamal on the team. But I think that's been a real Achilles heel for Hearts all season and continues to be so. But, you know, Robbie says he's maybe a wee bit worried. Yeah, you would never underestimate an opponent and give them the respect they deserve, but I can't see Hearts causing Celtic many problems tonight. I'm not saying Celtic are going to win 3 or 4-0, but I think that Celtic will certainly win the game.
Yeah, I think it's been 8 years, Robbie, since Hearts won at Celtic Park. I think it was actually a Scottish Cup tie. They're bottom of the table. Surely it's quite difficult at this stage to build a case for Hearts.
Yeah, they robbed points off of one of the best teams in the league, in Rangers. And when that's happened, I think it's just a bunch of young boys have created a new squad with a bit of youthfulness. So they're going to come at us, you know, with all they've kind of got, and, you know, try to take points off Celtic and take away the championship. Just bringing up on that as well, I think Morelos, everyone's on his back. It's funny to see him and Edwards. I think Edwards trying to score more and more goals to see if he can beat him.
Yeah, there might be a little bit of a rivalry, you know, personal rivalry, who can score the most goals. At the end of the day, I think that who's going to come up with the title at the end of the season will be the most important thing. But the thing is, Robbie, for me, I don't think Hearts have you know, quite grasped, you know, how Daniel Stendel wants to play yet. And I think that's why they've been inconsistent. I think the game against Rangers, they've obviously come out the blocks with the new signings, and particularly Liam Boyce that day. Rangers, by, you know, by their own admission, Steven Gerrard used the term unrecognisable for his own team. So they were way below the levels. And then they had a last minute equaliser against St Johnstone. Then they lost against Kilmarnock, and then they beat Falkirk at 1-0. But I think unless he gets all the players available, like John Souter, in the team on a regular basis, he's still going to be stop start, because he can't. How can you plan when you're having to change your team every game, two or three players? So I don't think they're quite ready yet to deal with Celtic, and I think if Celtic are playing anywhere near the form they've shown over since the turn of the year, then they'll win the game comfortably.
Okay, we've got breaking team news for you from Celtic Park and from Rugby Park. So listen to these, tell us what you make of it. Are you happy with the team? Would you have done something different? 0141 951 1025. Alison's first up at Celtic Park.
Yeah, five changes for Celtic from that Scottish Cup win at Clyde on Sunday. Fraser Forster, of course, coming back into goal. And it's back to a back three for Celtic against Hearts tonight. Will be Fraser Forster in goal, a back three of Chris Arjozo, Samodinovic and Chris Julian. Then the five in the midfield of James Forrest, Scott Brown, Olivia Cham, Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor. And the two up top, Odson Edward and Lee Griffiths. On the bench for Celtic tonight will be Bain, Bauer, Hayes, Rogic, Christie, Ilianussi and Bio.
Any surprises in there for you?
No, because I'd already written the team down before Alison mentioned
it. Nosy stuff. Nosy stuff, this guy.
I think that we just thought to get back to that. You know, no, as I mentioned, if Simonovic fit goes, stick with the back three. It's a system, it's worked really well. They're scoring goals for fun. I don't know what their average goals are. It must be over three anyway just now, over the last maybe half a dozen games. No, they've been in great form. And, you know, why would you change it? You know, unless you just want to freshen things up. And he may well do that at the weekend, but I think tonight, go with you know, the team that's been doing the business for you.
Yeah, Celtic fans, not the most controversial team selection, quite predictable. But what do you make of it? That doesn't mean to say you agree. Would you have done something different, or are you more than happy to keep going with that team? Why not tell us? 01419511025. Rangers fans, big news coming out of Rugby Park. Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, first of all, I will give you the Rangers team because that's the first one I have got written down here. Three changes for Rangers. The big news is that Borna Barisic does not make it for Rangers tonight, so he drops out the team, as does George Edmondson and as does Glenn Kamara. In come Nikola Katic, Andy Halliday and Ryan Jack. So that'll be Alan McGregor in goal, a back four of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Andy Halliday. Midfield three, Ryan Jack, Joe Aribo and Scott Arfield, with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos. The substitutes: Fodringham, Flanagan, Edmondson, Davis, Stuart Jones and Camberi. As for Kilmarnock, they actually revert back to a back four. They played a back three at the weekend against Aberdeen. It'll be Jan Koprovic who comes in goal for Laurentiu Brunescu. The back four is Stephen O'Donnell, Stuart Finlay, Dario Del Fabbro and Nico Hamalainen. The midfield three, Alan Power, Gary Dicker and Rory McKenzie, with Chris Burke, Eamon Brophy and Nicky Kabamba the front three. The substitutes: Curtis Lyle, Stephen Hendry, Connor Johnson, Greg Kilty, Ross Millen, Ali Taylor, Kyle Connell, and the referee here at Rugby Park is John Beaton.
So Rangers fans, no Borna Barisic. How big a blow is that? What about Andy Halliday in as his replacement? And of course, it is Ryan Jack straight back into the team, as many people predicted. So tell us what you make of that. Starting 11, 01419511025. Let's hear from Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah, they're on the back of, I think it's three decent results now. Ross County, Aberdeen and Hearts. They went away to Hearts and won as well. So Alex seems to be turning the corner with them. You know, since we've come in here, our challenges against Kilmarnock have always been tough. Beginning of the season, we managed to get a late goal there to win from two set pieces, and even at home at Ibrox as well, it was quite a close encounter. So we expect nothing different. It'll be a good challenge for us. You know, obviously, it's the pitch as well always comes into it down at Kilmarnock, so be a big challenge for the players.
Darren is a Rangers fan from Ardrossan. We just gave you the team, Darren. I don't know if you managed to catch it. Borna Barisic is out, Andy Halliday's in his place, and Ryan Jack comes in. What do you make of that team?
Yeah, it's pretty predictable. If Barisic is not 100%, then it's certainly what I would have went for, to be honest. I don't think Flanagan offers enough at left-back. He's a cracking defender in the European games and the tougher games, but going forward, he just doesn't do enough for me, to be honest.
I know he's a left-back, but the way modern football is, Darren, you know, full-backs can be so important when it comes to attacking. Are Rangers seriously weakened when Barisic is out the team? Or are you confident they can handle his absence tonight?
They are seriously weakened, 100%. Yeah, he's one of our most creative players. He's got far more assists than Ryan Kent, which was one of my main points, to be honest. We need him to up his game. I hope Hadji can bring the best out of him. I checked his stats today. I don't think he's set up one single goal in the league this year. But if you can verify that.
Is that Ryan Kent?
Ryan Kent. BBC website said he scored six and assisted zero in the week.
May well be right. He certainly got that assist at the weekend, of course, but that was a cup game. And I mean, Darren isn't saying anything that Stephen Gerrard hasn't mentioned, Jim. It's not really it's not an unfair criticism. Stephen Gerrard spoke about lifting the burden of goal scoring. The creativity, it all comes into that bracket.
Yeah, I mean, six goals is a good return from a wide player. But I agree with Darren in the sense of, his final ball, his final delivery. You know, he's setting up for his teammates, getting his head up at times to put the ball in the right areas. At times, I think he takes that extra check, you know, where he goes to, he feints to cross it, and then he checks. And I think midfield players and strikers get a bit frustrated with that. And I think he's got to release things a little bit early. And I think, yeah, he's definitely, he should be one of the main suppliers of goals in amongst chipping in with the ones he's got. So I do think he has to improve on that. And that is something I think he will do. You know, listen, you know, we're on, you can mention a number of other players, and sometimes it takes them into their mid-20s before they start to really learn the game, you know, all that. They can do stuff with the ball, but the other parts, and he's still, what is he, 22 or something? So I think he's got a bit to go. I was a wee bit surprised that Hadji started tonight, not because I don't think he's a good player, but I thought Arfield scoring the two goals at the weekend, particularly the second one, was a fantastic
goal. He's still
goal.
In there though, isn't he? Yeah. Arfield, he's tonight.
Just in terms of you know, the shape of the team and how to play the game. And I just think that, you know, it's one of those situations where he, as I said, he gives them that penalty box extra, you know, up. And when Morelos draws defenders out, they need someone to get there. And that's the other side of it. And I think that's something that Ryan Kent's got to look at, someone like him, and look at players like that. Steven Gerrard was a fantastic player at that as well. So I think he will manage to improve on that. But that's the one area I agree with Darren that I think he's got to improve on.
Just how important are nights like tonight, Darren? I think after tonight, is it four league games before you meet Celtic again? How much importance are you putting on games like this?
Massive. I think it's 3 points is absolutely essential tonight. The other matches after tonight is a little bit easier on paper before the Old Firm. So I think tonight's a must win. 100% we need the 3 points tonight.
Yeah, managers will always tell us about one game at a time and all that, Mark. And you can't predict it. You can't look too far ahead in terms of saying that one's easy, that one's not. But the run Rangers have in the league between now and then, so Kilmarnock away does look like the standout banana skin, if you like. Then it goes Livingston at home, St Johnstone away, Hamilton at home, Ross County away before they get a crack at Celtic. So this looks like the biggest hurdle, if you like.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Gordon. If you can get through tonight, I'm not saying the next four games are gimmies. I don't think it ends particularly a gimme at this stage of the season, but you would certainly need to fancy Rangers to win those games. And look, and if you can't win those four games ahead of the game against Celtic, you wouldn't fancy Rangers to go and really take Celtic all the way. So they've got to, starting tonight, it's got to be 15 points out of 15. And I agree, if they do it tonight, they'll pick up. Of course, they've got a Scottish Cup quarter final wait, Tynecastle in between all that. But yeah, it would certainly put Rangers on the right road.
You got a bit quieter as the game went on, Darren, but I'm thinking in particular the first half on Saturday. Yanis Hadji seemed to be involved in everything. Can you see him making a bit of a difference for Rangers in the coming games?
Yeah, definitely. You can just see it from his technique straight away. As soon as he touches the ball, his control and his vision, and he's trying to play passes forward rather than sideways and backways. He's definitely a player. I think everyone can see that. And I just, as I said, I hope he brings the best out in Kent, because Kent definitely has the ability. He does it in the Old Firm games. He does it in the big games. I just don't think he's doing it often enough. His forums has not been great. So I'm hoping with Hadji there, with his ability and the technical ability, that the two of them can play well together and get the best out of Morelos.
Well, he does start tonight. Let's see how he does between now and the end of the evening. Thank you very much to Darren in Ardrossan. This is a good time for you to get in touch, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen. Then we'll continue building up to tonight's games. I'll give you the breaking team news from some of the other fixtures next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
1 hour to kick off in the five big Premiership games tonight. Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy joining me, Gordon Duncan, to preview them. Scott McFarlane has sent us a tweet at Clyde SSB. He says, "Hi guys, enjoying the show." I think Scott is a Rangers fan, but he says, "For me, the league was gone at Tynecastle. They won't fancy it tonight. Too cold, plastic pitch. A team that will try their off as usual. More points gone. No evidence to suggest otherwise." Oh, very glass half empty from Scott. I guess we will find out before
very
the
empty.
End of the night. Very empty. More than half empty. Let's get, I don't think we got the Hearts team yet, did we? There was a lot of speculation. How will they set up? Will they go full strength? Alison Conroy has the answer.
It's four changes for Hearts from that Scottish Cup game at Falkirk at the weekend. John Souter does make the starting 11. He, of course, was that doubt with the ankle injury, but he is in. So it will be Joel Piera in goal, a back four of Sean Clear, Craig Halkett, John Suter and Michael Smith in the midfield, Jamie Walker, Andrew Irving, Anthony McDonald and Ben Caruccio. And then it'll be Stephen Naismith just in behind Liam Boyce. On the bench for Hearts, Lamal, Washington, Ikpeazu, Damour, Moore, Langer and Avdiai.
That's a strong team. You're looking at that, you know, that's as good a team as you could prick probably. Jim, you look at Naismith and Boyce, two very experienced players up top, working off each other at the back. Clare, Halkett and Suter. I think Suter brings good composure to the team. Smith at left back too. Walker, you know, I think Stendhal was talking about Walker, just try to kind of get a wee bit more out of him and put an arm round his shoulders. He's got a lot to offer when he's on form. So yeah, I have to say that is a very strong team that Hearts have picked.
Let me give you some of the other team news. Motherwell gone up to St Johnstone trying to reclaim third place. Mark Gillespie in goal, a back four of Liam Grimshaw, Declan Gallagher, Peter Hartley, Jake Carroll, midfield Donnelly, O'Hara and Campbell, with Rolando Ahrens and Jermaine Hilton either side of Christopher Long, Carson Tate, Watt, Manzinga, Paulworth, Mugabe and McKeever on the bench. At for St Johnston, I'll give this a go. A quick glance: Sander Clark in goal, a back four of Anthony Ralston, Jason Kerr, Jamie McCartan, Callum Booth, maybe a midfield five. Liam Craig's in there, David Witherspoon, Dre Wright, Ali McCann, Jason Holt and Callum Hendry leading the line. At Parrish, Gordon Tanzer, Butcher Jones, May and Kane on the bench. I'll give you some more team news in the not too distant future. Let's speak to a Kilmarnock fan on the line. Liam is going to the game this evening. Liam, are you fancying your team's chances?
Absolutely. We're sitting in the car outside the ground and the team news came through. I'm looking at the Kilmarnock side up against the Rangers side and I think we're looking much stronger. There's not one player, maybe one player, the goalkeeper, I would swap. Guys like Kabamba, I think he's twice the player of Morales. Brophy, flying at the minute. Chris Burke, I mean, the guy's got six assists in one game. I don't think Ryan Kent has that all season. But they're talking £7 million they paid for Ryan Kent. How much is Chris Burke worth in current form?
Good question. Probably less than £7 million. I don't think Chris Burke would mind us saying that, Jim, would he?
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, he hit them all against Queen's Park, I think, in the Scottish Cup. But nevertheless, you know, he did have the six assists. It's a fact, you know, and it is a very, very rare thing to happen. And brilliant. I mean, listen, I'm a big admirer of Chris Burke, not just as a player, but his professionalism, his attitude when he was out the team a little while ago there. You know, he just knuckled down, kept working away at 33 or 34 years of age, whatever it is. He could have said, listen, I'm not happy, let me go somewhere else and play out the rest of my career. But he didn't, and he became, you know, a really important part of the team. Kabamba, no, I don't think we can quite compare him with Morelos yet. You know, if you get 28 goals, I think Morelos has got so far.
Twice the player of Morelos, Liam
but,
says.
Kabamba is a handful, you know, and I think him and Brophy, I mean, we spoke on the programme a couple of weeks ago, he seemed to be lacking in confidence. All of a sudden, as all strikers do, you score a goal, you look back on top of the world again, and he's a handful to the point where there was a suggestion that Rangers could be interested in naming Brophy as well. Listen, Liam, I love the fact that you're positive about your team and that you're confident in your team, because that's what you want fans to go. You want fans to go to the game believing that your team is good enough to win this game. Liam has got that opinion. Respect it, but I think, as I said, it's one of those games where, you know, they'll have to beat their best defensively, because I think Rangers will take the game to Kilmarnock.
Liam, whether he's half the player of Kabamba or not, the fact remains Morelos has 11 goals in a season and a half against Kilmarnock. How do you stop him tonight?
Finlay will stop him. I'll tell you, if Morales scores tonight, I don't think I'll be back the rest of the season. I don't rate the guy. I don't rate the guy at all. I think he's trouble. He's bad news.
But we're talking about goal scoring here, and he has scored 11 goals against Kilmarnock. In a lot of those games, Stuart Finlay was playing. So what's different tonight?
I mean, I don't think he'll handle the pitch, for one. The atmosphere, it's building up around the ground for now.
I think I love supporters coming on defending their team and being full of optimism, particularly in big games. Wednesday night under the floodlights, brilliant. But you're totally underestimating the ability of Morelos, Liam. He is a right good player, good goal scorer, and at this moment in time he is the most important player in terms of Rangers getting towards the, you know, what they want to achieve, and that's winning the title this season, and they'll need Morelos to go and do that. But if your Kilmarnock defenders keep them quiet tonight, then what a job they will have done. They'll need to turn in a terrific performance to keep Morelos quiet. So it will be some battle, Del Fabbro and Finlay up against Morelos. It'll be really intriguing.
I mean, he did get a hat-trick on this pitch previously, but that's not to say Liam is wrong. Liam, you can give us a call tomorrow and let us know how you're feeling afterwards. That was Liam in Kilmarnock. Hopefully you enjoy the game. So 1419511025. Team news in from Livy St Mirren as well. St Mirren going Cladkane goal, the back four of Hodgson, McCarthy, Fumeo and Waters, McPherson and Foley, the defensive midfielders, Dermus, Marias, Jakubiak, Obika, quite an attacking lineup for St Mirren tonight. Linus, Wallace, McGrath, McAllister, Andrew, Cook and Mullen on the bench. As for Livy, McCrory in goal, back four of McMillan, Brown, Guthrie, Taylor, Sinclair, Bartley and Pittman, probably the most defensive midfielders, Sibbald, Lawless, Robinson and that man Lyndon Dykes leading the line. Schofield, Menga, Crawford, Jacobs, Lawson, Souda and Lamy. We will delve into that game in a bit more detail later on, but big incentive for St Mirren to try and get clear of danger, but unfortunately going to what is at the moment one of the most difficult grounds in the country.
Yeah, and I think Livingston will be kicking themselves. You know, they've had a couple of, I mean, they had a phenomenal run where Gary Holt ends up winning the Man of the Month, and then, you know, just you know, a couple of results that he would have maybe expected to get the points from. But Livingston at home, you know, they're a very, very difficult side to play against. You know, they have a very you know, determined way of playing, and they're very good at it. So I think it'll be a big test for St Mirren tonight. I would expect Livingston just to nick that one.
It is that time of the night.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. It's your chance to walk away with a signed ball, but only if you can get more questions right than Jim Duffy or Mark Guidi. If you want to step up to the plate tonight, and by the way, one of the performances of the season from the listeners last night, six.
Wow.
To Gordon DL's 5. Oof. The sign ball is on its way. So it was a cracker. So if you fancy it tonight, 0141 951 1025. Call us quickly because the lines close at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy are here with me, Gordon Duncan. We're building up to 5 huge games in the Premiership and we'd love you to join us. So get in touch, let us know what you've made of those starting 11s. No real surprises from the Celtic team. 3-5-2 again, Griffiths and Edouard up front, the likes of Christie and Rogic still amongst the subs. Rangers fans, maybe a bit more for you to chew over. Barisic doesn't make it, Halliday replaces him, and Ryan Jack comes straight back into a midfield which also contains Scott Arfield and Joe Aribo. We've got big games, St Mirren at Livingston, Motherwell at St Johnstone, just to cover off a couple. So if you've got any thoughts, now is the time to get them in. 0141 951 1025. And we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is that time, 7:05. As always, we play Beat the Pundit. We try and give away a signed ball, but we don't let it go easily. The contestant needs to get more football questions right than Jim or Mark. And the man with that task tonight is Jamie in Kirkintilloch. How are you, Jamie?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
Good stuff. What's your team, Jamie? Usually it tells me on my screen, but it's absent tonight.
Celtic.
Confident of a victory?
Very.
Yeah, you'd have to think so, going in current form, but never say never in this weird and wonderful world of Scottish football. Let's see if you can cause a shock on Beat the Pundit. If it's heads, you're going to be up against Mark Guidi, and if it's tails, you'll be taking on Jim Duffy. And it is tails. Jim against Jamie from Kirkintilloch. So I'm going to give Jim some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he can't hear your attempts. Jamie, you have 30 seconds head to head with Jim. You can pass. If you don't know it, pass it and just move quickly on, okay?
Okay.
Good man, Jamie. Your time starts now. Which Austrian side did Celtic sign Bolly Bolongoli from?
Rapid Vienna.
Which Scottish football side's nicknamed the Wasps?
Alloa.
How many goals has Alfredo Morelos scored in European competition this season?
12.
Who's the manager of the Scotland women's team?
Scott Booth.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Pass.
Who was Scotland's top scorer in Euro 2020 qualifying?
Lee Griffiths.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership at the moment?
Hearts.
Okay. Jim Duffy, can you hear us?
Yep.
Great. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Which Austrian side did Celtic sign Bolly Ballingolly from?
Sturm Graz.
Which Scottish football side's nicknamed the Wasps?
Alloa.
How many goals has Alfredo Morelos scored in European competition this season?
11.
Who is the manager of the Scotland women's team?
Shelley Kerr.
Who are the current holders of the Scottish Challenge Cup?
Ross County.
Who was Scotland's top scorer in Euro 2020 qualifying?
John McGinn.
Who is currently bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Hearts.
Okay. Jamie, what do you think?
I think you might have just pipped me.
Maybe just pipped you. You got the first one, you got off to a good start. You were 1-0 up. It was Rapid Vienna. Bolly Ballingolly's former club. Not involved tonight, actually, at all. Back out the squad altogether. So Jamie's one up. Which Scottish football side nicknamed the Wasps? It is Alloa. You both get that. So Jamie stays one up. How many goals has Alfredo Morelos got in European competition? He's got 8 in qualifying, 6 in the group, 14 in total. So it's still 2-1 to Jamie, but not for long. Shelley Kerr is the manager of the Scotland women's team. Ross County, did you play them in the Challenge Cup? No? Just wondered if you...
No, but I just remembered it. I remember that they'd won it.
Yeah, Ross County, the holders of the Challenge Cup. So Jim goes in front. John McGinn was the top scorer, Jamie. 7 goals in the qualifying campaign. So that does move Jim out of sight. You did get the last one right. Well done to you. Hearts are bottom of the Premiership. So it was a 3 for Jamie and a 5 for Jim Duffy. Hardlines, Jamie. Enjoy the game.
Well done, Jim.
Cheers, Jamie. Thanks.
Good man. That was Jamie, Celtic fan from Kirkintilloch. And your chance to beat the pundit will be back tomorrow night. What about last night's action? That's not quite a full fixture card. We had one game last night. Aberdeen, were they ever going to score from open play again? Well, they did, and they made some big changes along the way. Derek McInnes leaving out Sam Cosgrove, starting Curtis Main, who's only got one goal in the league, I think, and he's the man that comes up with the goods to set them on their way.
Yeah, he scored and they set one up, and you know, by all accounts, he was a real handful right throughout the game, and he's probably been sitting waiting his chance. But the form at Cosgrove been up until this year, since they come back from the winter break, had been exceptional. But he seems to have lost his way a little bit. And you know, sometimes a manager, you have to make a big call, because he stuck with him. He tried a partnership, he tried with wingers, he was trying everything, but it just wasn't quite falling for Sam Cosgrove. And as a result, I think his confidence was affected, and he decided to put in Curtis Main. And it was a brave decision, but the right decision, because it worked out perfectly for him. And obviously now McGinn got a goal as well. And to score 3 goals in a very difficult conditions in the artificial surface, I think will give them a tremendous lift, and something they needed, because there's no doubt about it. You know, Derek was under a little bit of pressure. The fans were getting very disgruntled, and obviously they've got a new owner as well, a new chairman, and David Cormack. It's not Stuart Milne, who knows the way Derek works. So all of those things considered, it was a terrific result for Aberdeen last night.
Yeah, it's one of those decisions, Mark, because we're all great with hindsight.
Yeah.
And actually, at the time, a lot of Aberdeen fans did feel Sam Cosgrove needed to be taken out. However, had that not gone to plan last night, it would have been so easy to say today, what, you can't believe you would leave our top scorer out when we're desperate for goals. So it was a big call by Derek McInnes, and it's worked.
It was, and it worked out, and he was due a wee break, I think, to be honest. And I think Derek, over the piece, has been a first class manager for Aberdeen. He'll be 7 years there, I think, in April. And when you look at what he inherited and the way Aberdeen were for the previous 3, 4, 5, 6 years to what he's built them into to now, I think he's done a really good job. And I think it's one of the ones when he'll probably only be maybe appreciated truly when he's not there. Because
you think you can just be there too long, Mark, and it's not even
that, was my next point, Jim. I think
how would you achieve Derek and Aberdeen fed up you almost.
If there's an amicable partner in the ways, I think the time's come for Derek to go and just come out of it and wait for something next to come up, and he'll get a right good job, whether it's up here or down south. He will get a right good job. He deserves a right good job. But I just think now, maybe a bit stale. You say the new owner, I wouldn't imagine the dynamic between the new owner and Derek would be the same as it was with Stuart Milne. So you put all that into the mix, new owner probably think, I quite fancy bringing him my own man. I want to go on a point. own man. So I think that, I don't know, but maybe it'll come to that stage that there's a partner away, and I think it would be good for Derek to go and try something different.
Well,
he
would have
season.
Been happy with the victory last night.
In a lot of the games, other than the game at Ibrox, on this type of run, we've been playing against teams who've sat in and we've struggled with that. I think Hamilton, being the home team, came out, had a go as, because we defended well, we were tenacious enough in the middle of the park, we managed to exploit some of that space that afforded us. Main, Benzie's run, lovely finish, gets us up and running. And I think from then on in, I think you've seen the confidence in the final third from the rest of the team. It almost felt like a weight had been lifted when Curtis puts that finish in. But the tenacity and the work rate of the team's always been there. It's just that final third output really has been falling way short, and tonight it was far more like it. Three goals, could have been more, goal chopped off. I'd have took any sort of victory night coming here, because it's always a tough win coming here, and getting 3 points was the most important thing. But to get three goals, confident and sure performance in difficult conditions, pleased me.
Now that's all well and good, right, but my favourite fallout from last night, did you see this story about, I think it's the Foundry is the name of the pub in Aberdeen, who tried to get a bit of publicity surrounding Aberdeen's goalless run, and they said if Aberdeen scored, I think it might have been from open play, you'd get a free pint.
Oh,
if you're in watching the game, right. Such is the desperation.
Very good, yep.
And they get three goals, and they ended up giving away, I think it was 190 pints, some soft drinks as well, Jim. So don't worry, you would not have been left out. Kieran from,
we're not saying anything about the Aberdonians getting 3 pints. So definitely not.
Kieran from the Foundry gives us just a little quick explanation of what went on.
It was risky, but I knew it would work just because of how little people were going to go to the game. I mean, we gave away 190 pints. Pub was absolutely packed on a Tuesday. I mean, the head of marketing for Stonegate Pub Company, they've been in contact, and they said it was a massive gamble, but a gamble that has really paid off, so they were delighted.
There we go. I don't know what price you put on the publicity. What would the 190 pints cost you? Again, someone who owns a pub out there can come and tell me.
Roughly £3 a pint, didn't you?
Would it have been worth it? Good bit of publicity. Well done.
Again, I'm sure the atmosphere last night on a Tuesday night.
And I'm sure they stayed in to celebrate, so I'm sure the tells are ringing a little bit later on.
As for Hamilton, they're on the other end of it. You get the feeling they've had a bit of a bruising week, Jim, don't you? They did well in spells against Celtic and lose 4-1. They did well in spells against Rangers and lose heavily. Heavily beaten again last night. You can never write them off. History tells you that. But it's been a tough week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the games are tough. You're playing against Rangers, Celtic and then Aberdeen. You know, they're not games where perhaps Hamilton are expected to pick up results. But they did put in a couple of big performances against Old Firm, and then eventually ran out of steam a little bit. But the Aberdeen one, I think, will disappoint Brian Rice. I think he maybe expected his team to play better. And maybe, you know, as Derek McKinnon said there, the fact that they were open, they went for the game, whereas against the Old Firm they probably sat in a little bit more. So maybe that going to Tynecastle at the weekend, which will be huge for them,
massive,
they can maybe sit in a little bit and invite Hearts onto them, and that might actually suit them better. And you would never write them off, because they always, I've said many times, they always seem to get a surprising result. And it wouldn't be that big a surprise if they got one at Tynecastle at the weekend.
Right, we'd love to hear from you on the phones as we build up to tonight's games, but equally happy to hear from you on Twitter as well. Stephen Kennedy sent us a tweet at Clyde SSB. He's looking beyond the Celtic starting 11, and he's disappointed Klamala doesn't even make the bench.
Yeah.
He says it's impossible to judge him in those conditions on Sunday. When is this boy going to get proper game time? It now seems Bio is ahead of him.
Funny when you read it, or sorry, Alison read out the team, that was, I think, oh, Klamala's not there and Bio's in, obviously Bio got a goal at the weekend. But look, I think you've got to look at it, as I've said, that the January window sometimes isn't for the here and now. It's about preparation for the summer. And they obviously think that there's something in Klamala. That's why they've paid £3 to £3.5 million for a 21-year-old. They see something in him. But let's be honest, was anybody really expecting him to come in and take over from Edouard? No chance. The way Lee Griffiths has been, no, it's a brilliant partnership that Celtic's got at the moment. And, you know, I know £3.5 million is a lot of money for Celtic, but it's not something that gets you the here and now. So it's about the guy finding his feet. If he can come in and do a turn here and there between now and May, then all the better. But I think it's finding the feet and making sure that he's prepared, ready to go and make a proper impact in the summer. Should be if Edouard's sold, you think, well, this guy's good, he can go in and do a job. Or whatever. So
if Klamala has signed, the former Lee Griffiths can justify the fee.
Exactly.
Because what he's done is, he's again a guy who's looked over his shoulder and thought, if I don't get my act together here, I'm way down the pecking order. So he's took his chance. And the fact that he's got a £3 million player, you know, in the background there, pushing him to the levels of performance which is required, and you know, benefit Celtic. So ultimately, no matter who, you know, really who's the starting lineup, who's the guy who's on the backup player, the fact that Griffiths and Edouard just now are playing with this terrific partnership and understanding is a benefit to Celtic. But yeah, Klimala could be on the bench, but he started the game at the weekend. I think did he play about 70 minutes, somewhere about that. So maybe they just think on the artificial surface, playing 70 minutes, we'll leave him out. Listen, I've got such an embarrassment of Richie's in their squad. I would expect him to come back into the squad at the weekend again, but it might just be having a little rest. Maybe his legs are a little bit tight.
You get the focus on him because he's the signing, but to be fair, Bio needs a chance, and he came on and he got his goal. You know, so would it have been even more harsh on him to leave him out? You're probably only going to have one of them.
I think it'll just be his muscles. He's probably come in first start, you know, as I said, on an artificial pitch, and I just think he might just be a little bit tight, and rather than any risk whatsoever, which they don't have to do, just leave him out tonight and then see if he's available for the weekend.
Alec is a Celtic fan on the line. Are you going along to the game tonight, Alec?
Yep, I'm just leaving the house in 2 minutes, so I'm a...
You better walk fast. You've only got half an hour. Are you a quick walker?
I'm only 20 minutes fit, so I'm
You'll scoosh it then. You'll scoosh it. Are you confident tonight?
Aye, mate. Aye, confident without being complacent, you know what I mean? But I think this trip to Dubai, you know, before it, you know, obviously we played Rangers and, you know, we all know what happened there. But when we come back to Dubai and we played the two up and the three at the back, let's be honest, you know, it's years ago it used to be 4-4-2. And then it went to the 4-2-3-1, whatever you want to call it. Then Celtic come back and all of a sudden we're playing three at the back. We look comfortable. We're midfield, you know, and then Griffiths and Edouard. Griffiths, slowly but surely, is getting back to where he was, you know what I mean? And when you look at our bench, as I said to the chap when I called, it's probably one of the strongest benches that we've had in a long, long time. So when you take one off, you're not sitting saying, oh, who's going to come on? Or you're looking at the bench. It should be like for like, you know what I mean? So it can only fill you with confidence.
Yeah, it's interesting Alex says that, because we're conceivably a week away from adding Frimpong and El Hamed to the possibilities on that bench.
Beaton as well. Yeah, you know, I mean, Alex is 100% right, you know, in terms of the quality that Celtic have at their disposal, you know, the options that they have. That's the reason why we've had people tweeting in and saying, what about Klamala? He's not even in the squad tonight. You know, just Celtic are so strong in every department. Ballingolly isn't in the squad tonight. You know, so listen, they've just got so
and that's
many...
before you even start on Shved, Arzani, Dembele.
Yeah, they've just got so many terrific
Mikey Johnson
players.
Sorry.
But the fact is that this system and this group of players just now are playing at such a high level that the manager doesn't need to do too much other than say, go on, same again. Mm-hmm. Keep producing for me and you'll stay in the team. And he's given them that license and they are producing the goods. I mean, I don't have any, obviously, get the stats in comparison, but it would be interesting to see, because I think Celtic, I think, have got over 70 goals this year already, I think. So it'll be interesting to see how many goals you scored, you know, playing the one up under maybe, say, Brendan Rodgers in comparison this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be too far away, but they seem to be, they want that three in midfield. That's important. And that's part of the reason, obviously, with the play, the three at the back, because it gives them that three central midfield players. And most managers now, like three in there, they like control the game in there, the way the game is played now. But the three at the back allows Celtic to play with twin strikers, and that is the big difference between them and anyone else at this moment in time, because they have that quality.
It's also as well that teams now are not used to playing against twin strikers. All of a sudden managers are having to think, how do we, I mean, look at the way that they tetherise St Johnson, we think that. So it's asking questions of the opposition manager in team two by coming up with something different.
Yeah, that's right, because you need then, do you drop someone? Do you drop a holding midfield player to try and screen them? Or do you narrow one of your fullbacks in? If you narrow one of your fullbacks in, that leaves space for Celtic's wing backs to go. So yeah, Matt's exactly right. It gives the opposition a completely different proposition to think about.
I'll give you the final say, Jim. Hopefully you'll handle this responsibility, because I've been putting this to the pundits in terms of, you know, what comes first. Do the players dictate the shape, or does the shape dictate the players? So at the moment, everybody seems to like Celtic playing this 3-5-2. Now, if it gets to a stage where Neil Lennon thinks El Yunusi is in top form and wants to play him, for example, would that signal a change back to the old shape, or would he go and play as a left wing back. Gordon DL thinks he could get him play left wing back, no problem. Alex Ray thinks no chance. He would, it would have to be a different shape to accommodate him.
Yeah, without disrespectful to Scottish teams, if Celtic at Celtic Park, he could play as a left wing back. But I don't think he would. But he could, because Celtic will dominate the ball and be attacking. He won't have to defend. You could have him in Forest. But I think, provided that Celtic are continuing at this level of form and the amount of goals they're scoring, I don't think he'll change it. I did a few weeks ago, I must admit. I thought a few weeks ago he might just do this for a couple of games, and then when Forrest and El Anoussi come back in, deal with the two, it'll go back to the 4-2-3-1 with Christie off Edward. But no, I have to be honest with you, I've changed my mind. I think if this current crop of players and the system it's playing, the way they're playing, the results they're getting, I don't see Neil Lennon change. And why should he? Because El Anoussi and any other player is going to have to adapt, you know, because they're going to have to fight for their place.
Yep. Alec, are you the greedy type? Do you look at this as being top against bottom, home game, chance to win comfortably? Or are you a 3 points, do whatever you need to do and get up the road type of fan?
Well, before the end of the year, I would be like just saying, just get his early line, get 3 points. But now, watching the way we're playing, I'm a 4-0, 5-0 type of guy.
I'll tell you what type of... You're on your way to the stadium, aren't you? I can hear you. You're starting to get a breath.
Yes, Matt.
He's going up a hill.
Right, I'm going to let you go because it's slippy out there. I do not want that in my conscience. You tread carefully. That was Alec, somewhere between his house and Celtic Park. 0141 951 1025. Are you going along to a game tonight? Maybe you're sitting in the car outside trying to get the last blast of the heater. Why not give us a call? Let us know. And if you're sitting down in the comfort of your own home to enjoy it, we'd love to hear from you as well. An absolute stinker of a full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Time for Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi to tackle tonight's full-time teaser. I already know they're not going to be happy with this one, but they've got no choice. They're stuck here until 8 o'clock. If you want to get involved in the full-time teaser, that's the beauty of it. We love getting you involved. So you send the questions in and we drive the pundits mad trying to come up with the answers. So if you've been working on a question or you've got an idea, you've got a good question you want to hear in the show, send it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. This one probably requires a pen and paper, which you two both have. So since 94, this is Eric Duff, by the way, who sent the question in.
94.
10 Scotland players whose first name and surname both end in a vowel.
Oh, come on.
Since 94, 10 Scotland players whose first name and surname both end in a vowel. Now, Eric says it's by the name that they're generally known by. So, you know, you can go Willie instead of William, Charlie and not Charles, that sort of thing.
Right. Okay.
It's one of them that's going to take a bit of time, I think. But once you get up and running.
Right, so A, like Alan Archibald. So that's not Alan Archibald. No, you know what I mean?
It's the end. So it's the last letter.
Wait a minute. So it's the last.
Their first name and their surnames end in a vowel. Okay, so there's only 10 of them.
Right, end in a vowel. Okay, I'm with you now. So end in a A-E-I-O-U.
Mm-hmm. Right. As the surname.
Wow, that's
yeah, it's brutal, isn't it? It's brutal. But take it as a compliment. It's because you guys can handle it. That's sort of something like that.
Why do you not just give it to Roger Hanna?
Because he had an even more difficult one on Tuesday. I can't remember what it was, but I know it was difficult. Right, I'll leave you with it. Okay. I think it is one of them that you'll start progressing with. We've got a big game in Perth. Motherwell going up there trying to reclaim third spot from Aberdeen, who took it last night. Tommy Wright, St Johnson, not in bad form at all. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson.
They've gone on a decent run. You know, they've similar players still. They've a similar style. They've not changed their style. They've not changed the way they play. They're a tough team to play against. You know, they'll put balls down the side of you. They'll be aggressive in midfield. And as you say, they're on a good run, so they'll go into the game with confidence. But again, you know, we go in sitting in third place, so we've got to go in and believe in what we do and try and stamp the way we play on the game.
It's been a good week for Motherwell, a big week off the field where they announced that they're now debt-free and they're going to build. The thing about football, as you'll know better than anyone, Jim, the first thing is about what happens on the pitch, and everything else is great. So if Motherwell can then marry that success with a team that does finish third and pushes on and has a great end to the season, that will just send, you know, everyone's feelings through the roof over the summer. And I guess that is a really tight battle now for third.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic challenge for third place now with Aberdeen getting that victory against Hamilton last night. But Motherwell have been very consistent over the last couple of years. And again, not just consistent results, performances. They play on the front foot, they're attacking side, they're a good side to watch, they're an entertaining team. But, you know, listen, if you're, you know, strangled by debt, then you can't look beyond maybe the, you know, sometimes if you're lucky at a season, sometimes even less than that. So once you get rid of the debt, then you can then concentrate fully on the football side. And that's what fans want to hear. So fair play to Motherwell, it's taken time, but they've managed to get that debt with the money from James Scott. And that's made a big and that's the you know, clubs like Motherwell have to do. I remember, you know, when I was at Clyde not that long ago, they had a similar situation, you know, where they were, you know, in debt, and obviously that meant that the club as a football side couldn't progress. The year I left actually was the year that they paid off the last payment of the debt, and then since then they've managed to improve, I think, quite a lot, in particular under Danny Lennon, and getting forward. Then the money from Celtic, for instance, and the cup and the TV money, that kind of stuff, can maybe move them to another level again. So listen, whether it's Clyde, whether it's Motherwell, it's anyone else, take the Old Firm out of it. If you can't, you know, look beyond, you know, a couple of months because you know, they just say you're weighed down by the debt, it stops you progressing a club. So listen, brilliant, and I think Motherwell will go from strength to strength. I'm not saying they'll finish third or fourth every year, but I think as a football club they will continue to develop and produce talented young players, as they have done, like David Turnbull, like James Scott, you know, like a number of other players over the last few years.
Such is the height of the bar that they've set this season, Mark. This is their longest winless run of the season. They've not won any of the last four, and that makes it the worst run of the season. When you delve a bit deeper, one of them's against Celtic, who are rampant at the moment. They're actually okay against Hibs, held to a 0-0 draw. Brutal conditions at the weekend, you're still in the cup, you draw one each. So it's not like it's an awful run of form, but they're more used to winning games than this at the moment, and Stephen Robinson will be hoping to get back to that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you would never count Motherwell out. You know, they've been round the block, they've got, you know, good seasoned pros in the team, they've got a bit of talent. I like the boys that he brought in. I like Hilton, boys, you know, a bit of pace. Obviously they've lost James Scott. Christopher Long's really making a name for himself too, nice and composed in the box. So they've got a lot going for them. But the thing is, Gordon, out with Celtic and Rangers, every one of the 10 teams at some point will go that 4, 5, 6, sometimes 8 or 9 games without getting a victory. So I think for Motherwell to have what they've had in the bank because of their brilliant start, then they're due a wee turn. And what Stephen Robinson will hope is that it comes good again. They win their cup replay against St Mirren next Mick Wheat, and they kick on. But I think for what they've achieved, for the kind of squad that they've got, and considering there's no David Turnbull there either, and different things, I think they have done remarkably well, and full credit to everyone at the club. And before I go any further, I've got one.
Oh, do you? Right, okay.
And it's very apt actually, because I've not mentioned them tonight. And
I was going to say that.
And it's I know Jim's good pals with his dad, and we wish him all the best, and I think he's making great recovery. And I know his good pal Simon Donnelly finally managed to get off the island of Arran today, and he's going down to see Jackie today. So we wish him all the best, and as of course Jackie McNamara.
Yes, well done. Your esteemed colleague Stephen Mill, fresh from doing the travel earlier on, he's sent in a couple. I'm going to tell you the one that he's not got right, because he's just shamelessly cut the first name to try and make it. He's gone for Stu McKimmy. I'm not giving you Stu. Come on.
No
chance. But he's got a couple of others. You've got Jackie McNamara. Any more?
No.
Right. That's all I've got now. Okay. I'm trying to think of a Davy or a Dave. I'm thinking like Davy Cooper, Davy Weir, people like that. But I'm not
just to sort of steer you in the, just give you a slight nudge. There's one who very much in the squad at the moment. There's another one who, yeah, technically is available, has been in squads recently. I think he dropped out of the last couple, but he has been there or thereabouts. But there's one that's, you know, definitely in the squad at the moment, and I would urge you to think about his first name. He's one of them that's got that shortened version.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that.
I don't know if that helps at all. John is a Celtic fan on the line. What are you hoping for tonight, John? What are you expecting?
Well, I'm going for a 5-0 in the night.
You don't want much.
No, I've been saying that. I mean, Hearts are a dangerous team. They're dangerous. That'd be Ray Smith, as I was pointing out last night. I mean, Griffiths for Scotland up front. I'd just like to say, wish me Jackie all the best. I love the guy. I think he was the best fullback we've had since Danny McGrain. So that's a compliment in itself. So I hope the guy's doing well. One of my favourites when he played with. Jim, I'm just talking with Brownlow today about things that night. And we were talking about Scott Brown. Now, do you not think this guy is in line to be the player of the year? I mean, it's been phenomenal this year. Just what are your thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, John, I think he has been one of the best players in the country. I was waxing lyrical about him at the weekend. I know it's Clyde, but it was just his attitude and his desire and, you know, just making sure Celtic were so professional and there was no slackness and just dominated the game. And I just think that typified Scott Brown, and just his influence in the game was immense. But Celtic, you know, have had, you know, other top performers this year. I mean, McGregor's been immense. At the first half of the season, Ryan Christie, obviously, Odson Edouard. So there's a lot of good players. I mean, that's from the Celtic perspective. From other clubs as well, there's been some really good players. But if you're just talking about Scott Brown on his own, yeah, he's certainly got to be in the running. But sometimes, sometimes the votes are split. And that's the difficulty, that sometimes the reason why someone doesn't win, because there's maybe four or five other candidates, and whereas if there's one outstanding candidate, then he tends to run away with it. But this year, I think there's been a few.
I'll just keep it to your club for the moment, John, because this would be the earliest player of the year discussion we've ever had, and I don't want to really delve in. But if it were to end tomorrow, would you seriously give it to Scott Brown over Odson Edouard? And I'm just keeping it for your team at the moment.
Well, I don't know. The French Eddie's on fire now, you know what I mean? Then you've got Big Fraz, man. He's been playing well, and as Jim said there, McGregor, you know what I mean? There's been a few. But I think with Scott Brown, I know he's more a defensive midfielder now, right? When he came first, he was like attacking. But it seems to be that, as Jim said, I mean, some of the passes he's picking out now is unbelievable. He's just as if he's going back 10 years, you know what I mean? He's absolutely... He's flying, you know what I mean? He just seems to even, I don't know, he's just, the guy just seems to have a new lease of life, and I think getting written off by a lot of people, you know what I mean? He's just, don't try to prove a point as well. But I just think he's, I would get to Scott Brown anyway. I think he's captain fantastic, you know what I mean?
Well, he plays again tonight, I think 43 or 4 for the season. I think it's 43, I can't remember, but he's putting in some shift, as they say. John thinks Hearts could be dangerous like Stephen Naismith, but is going for a 5-0 win for Celtic. So enjoy the game, John. Tonight's teaser is this. Since 94, 10 players to be capped for Scotland whose first name and surnames both end in a vowel. So guys like Jackie McNamara.
I've got one. Lee Wallace.
Yes.
I've got another one then. I think Jim might have managed them at some stage. Lee Wilkie.
Yes, great shout. Well done. Have you not got the one that's in the squad at the moment?
No, I'm trying to rack my brain. I'm trying to go through the full.
I was talking to John. I can't even talk to John.
Multitask. I know. I ask a lot of you.
Mikey Devlin, Scott McKenna.
Go further up. Much
James
further up.
Forrest,
much
Stevie
further
Naismith.
Up. Even further up.
Eamon Brophy.
It's the only one you've missed. Like I say, the short first name, that's what's doing it for you.
He's always a striker.
Ollie McBurney.
Yes.
Ollie McBurney, great shout.
We've got four down, six to go, and we'll go back around the grounds for kick-off next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Minutes away from kick-off in what could be a huge night in the title race here in the Scottish Premiership. The teams are in the tunnel at Rugby Park. Let's go there first and get a flavour of the build-up and a recap of the teams with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, Rangers coming at the tunnel first here at Rugby Park. There's three changes for Kilmarnock though going into this one. Brunescu, Broadfoot and Johnson drop out. Koprovic, Finlay and Burke come in. So it'll be Koprovic starting in goal. A back four of Stephen O'Donnell, Stuart Finlay, Dario Del Fabbro and Nico Hamalainen. Alan Power, Gary Dicker and Rory McKenzie, the midfield three, with Chris Burke, Nicky Kabamba and Eamon Brophy up top. As for Rangers, they make three changes as well from that win against Hamilton at the weekend. Out go Edmondson, Barisic and Kamara. In come Katic, Halliday and Ryan Jack on his return. Alan McGregor starts in goal. It's a back four of James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Nikola Katic and Andy Halliday. The midfield three, Scott Arfield, Ryan Jack and Joe Aribo, with Yanis Hadji and Ryan Kent supporting Alfredo Morelos up front. It's been fine margins the difference between these sides this season. Rangers needing a last minute goal here to get 3 points on the opening day of the season. And Kilmarnock defended stubbornly in that game at Ibrox in December, but Alfredo Morelos, he came off the bench to score, and Rangers won that one 1-0. Both teams are feeling better about themselves after the last couple of matches. We'll see who's smiling at the end of this one.
Massive game in store at Rugby Park, Kilmarnock against Rangers. Andrew McLean will get all the post-match reaction, and we'll bring that to you on tomorrow night's show. What about Celtic against Hearts then, Alison Conroy?
Yeah, the teams are out on the pitch for this one. Six changes for Celtic from that Scottish Cup win at Clyde. James Forrest was in a minor car accident earlier today, but he is fit and in the starting 11. So Fraser Forster in goal, a back three of Chris Iyer, Joso Simonovic and Chris Julian, a midfield five of James Forrest, Scott Brown, Olivian Cham, Callum McGregor and Greg Taylor, Hudson Edward and Lee Griffiths up top for Celtic. For Hearts, four changes from them from the weekend. Joel Piera in goal, a back four of Sean Clare, Craig Halkett, John Suter and Michael Smith in the midfield, Jamie Walker, Andrew Irving, Anthony McDonald and Ben Garuccio, with Stephen Naismith in behind the lone striker of Liam Boyce. A referee at Celtic Park is Willie Collum. It is top versus bottom here. Can Daniel Stendahl do something tonight to take them off the bottom of the table against the league leaders? We'll find out soon, Gordon.
Massive games all around the country. In terms of the title race, I won't even bother you for specific score predictions. Talk to me about points gap. Come tonight, is it going to be seven? Is it going to be bigger? Going to be smaller?
I think it will be seven, but I think there's a likely chance that Rangers will drop point. But I think Celtic will win by three, Rangers will nick it by one.
Yeah, I think it'll, the points will remain the same, just simply
so
because
both win.
I just think that they're both better teams in the opposition.
Yeah, that's as good a reason as any. I don't mind that at all. Right, on tonight's teaser, let me see what a response this has had on Twitter. Honestly, some great answers coming in.
I've got into it. I wasn't sure about it.
Yeah, I knew it. That's fine. So William Donaghy's thrown names in. John Henderson's got one that you don't have. So does Colin Moffat. Honestly, there's just so many. Robbie Galbraith has got one that you don't have. James Hogarth, James Shields, Stephen Wood. Honestly, I'm running through them all. Taylor Scott. The only thing I will say, right, we were looking for 10. There's a wee bonus one. It's up to you. It depends how pedantic you are, right? Do you remember the one that we said that is in the squad at the moment?
Who
was it? No, but remember the one you gave me already.
Ollie McBurney.
Right. Ollie McBurney.
There's another guy that's kind of got the same first name.
Ollie Buck.
Right, okay. It's just a bit of a grey area. So for instance, Ollie McBurney, see if you go on his Wikipedia page, he's down as Ollie. Right. If you go on, it's Oliver Buck. So we'll give you it if you want. But that,
so that makes it 11, sort of.
Yeah, so he's not in the 10. Right. So you're still looking for another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've got a couple of belters.
Go for it.
Right. Steve Clatt, the Scotland manager.
Yes, he's the earliest on the list. 94 was his last of his six caps.
And the other one I'm really happy with, Jamie Mackie.
You should be happy with that, because that is a fine answer. Well done, Jamie Mackie. Four to go.
Yeah. Well, the only one we got a kind of between us, me and Matt, was Akechi Anya.
Yes, Akechi Anya. Well done. What, remember that period he had? Proper fans' favourite, wasn't he? Under Gordon Strachan.
It was brilliant, wasn't he?
Right, was a wing and then a wing back, almost like. And then the other one that again, just because it doesn't, you know, you don't think about it the time because you're thinking the obvious ones. But Christoph Berra.
Yes, Christoph Berra. Well done. That means you're only looking for another two since 94. 10 players to be capped for Scotland, whose first name and surname both begin with a vowel.
Right, I've got a belter.
No, he's waving his pen at me.
I've got a belter. I'm so chuffed with this one.
Oh, I hope it's right.
Robbie Stockdale.
That's superb. I thought that was the hardest one.
We've seen you read out on Twitter and Robbie on. I'm thinking Robbie there. Yeah, there's another one ends in an E. And I'm thinking, Robbie Stockdale.
So if you want to get it. Listen, you've got plenty of time to get it, so we won't rush into it. But so many great answers coming in. Sean Allison is another one. I think he's rhymed off a good few. Colin Moffat's gone for Richie, but I don't know really what that means. There's no one called Richie on here. DJ is another. Honestly, great response. Thank you very much for taking part, Jim. With a whole 2 minutes on the clock at Rugby Park, what has your managerial eye picked up? Anything in particular?
I think Kilmarnock tried just to push on to Rangers, obviously, when they have the ball, not allowing them to play through the midfield. So if it goes to Halliday, you see Buck sprinting to him. If it goes on the other side to Tavernier, then obviously Kilmarnock trying to put pressure on Rangers higher up the pitch, to try and force him to go long. Obviously, if it goes long, then that should shoot. Even though Morelis is a competitive player up there, it's not as easy for them against the two big centre backs when he's having to back in all the time.
Eamon Brophy's taken a real sore one on the head from Nikola Katic. Just jumps over the striker, leads with his left arm. Will he be in a little bit of bother?
I don't think because he's not
swung the ball all the time. Yeah,
his arm is over him, and he does kind of catch him in the ear. Yeah. But listen, it's one of those ones where he's a big guy, he's aggressive. That is his style, Katic. But the referee, I think, is it John Beaton is the referee.
John
tonight?
Beaton's the referee,
and I think he didn't even give a free kick or anything like that, so he didn't see Aidan toward there, and I didn't either.
It's not exactly high on Rangers' priority list that they're playing at the moment. They've got this strong squad that they're going to be going with. Something just caught my eye on Twitter, just take advantage of it. Jamie Murphy scoring again for Burton last night. He's 3 and 5. I think I mentioned it earlier, we're brilliant with hindsight, and it's easy to say now, oh, Rangers should never have put him out on loan. And, you know, look at the other up, he's better than Barker, he's better than Ojo, whatever. But he's clearly has gone down and having quite an impact.
Well, he scored a terrific goal. I watched it today in the highlights. They were showing you all the goals from last night, and I seen his goal, and it was a terrific goal again. Typical Jamie Murphy.
It was a great touch, wasn't it, when it came over the top?
Gets over on the left hand side, comes inside, but then just hits early, bottom corner. And as you said, he started off really well at Burton. So, yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Listen, there was no doubt he was a good player, but he just was out injured. And I don't think he'd have fancy going back and playing at Kilmarnock, to be honest, if he was available.
That's where he came a cropper, wasn't it, the first thing?
So I think that, listen, Rangers have made the decision, and I think it's good for everybody, and particularly for Jamie, to go and get game time.
Right, you won't be surprised to hear that the first chance really for Celtic is linking up between Edouard and Griffiths, but the chance is snuffed out by the Hearts defence, so still goalless in that one. As it is in all of our games, Hibs against Ross County, Livingston St Mirren, and St Johnstone Motherwell are the three games not involving either of Glasgow's big two. Not necessarily looking for a full list of score predictions, but anything in particular, are we getting any shocks or any results of note?
I wouldn't be surprised if St Mirren nick a point at Livingston. I think they're well capable of doing something like that. So yeah, I could see St Mirren coming away with a point tonight.
No, I think I wouldn't say surprised, because a lot of the games are evenly matched. You know what I mean? But I think that St Johnstone at home, aren't they? Are they at home?
Yeah, to Motherwell.
To Motherwell. And I think that could be a difficult one for Motherwell. Again, St Johnstone have get back on track again after a very sticky start first half of the season. They were really struggling, but again, they've made changes. They've left the likes of Stevie May out tonight again. So I think they might get something from the Motherwell game. I wouldn't, that to me wouldn't be a shock, but it would be a bit of a blow for Motherwell really trying to get back in third place.
We always say that Rangers don't ever really change their shape, Jim, and it's much easier when you're at the game. But just a couple of things. I wonder, is it possible that Ryan Jack and Scott Arfield are playing as a holding two?
A two.
And they've gone to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. You know what I mean? I've said before, it is possible they're playing that. It's hard to say at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, television, it isn't great. Andrew McLean will be listening. He can text us. It just looked a few times there as if Jack and Arfield are sitting sort of next to each other.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, they said, you know, Kilmarnock play three in the middle of the pitch, as we know, generally. But I think they look as if they're playing a 4-4-2, narrowing in. So maybe they've just went to make sure that because, again, they've got two strikers, that they can't play the ball up to the two strikers. But Rangers have certainly started the game positively, getting on the ball. They've moved it quickly. They're the team, you know, who have had one or two crosses into the box and one or two bits of possession around about the box.
Yeah, Morelos tries one from distance, just doesn't catch it at all on his left foot. Andrew McLean thinks that is the case. He's texted to say, you know, that Rebo tends to play on the left centre mid of a three, but he's more advanced and central at times at the moment, it looks like. So one to keep an eye on. Some people don't care too much about the exact makeup of things in there, but one to, they might interest some of you. But with 7 minutes gone, it's Kilmarnock 0 Rangers 0, and it is goalless across the board in all of our fixtures. So we'll keep an eye. We've only a couple of minutes left here, of course, so we'll keep an eye. St Mirren almost getting in just a moment or two ago. Abika behind the Livingston defence, Robbie McCrory, the on loan Rangers keeper, he rushes out. Eventually, he didn't look too sure, but he rushes out, knocks the ball clear. And then at the other end, it's off the line. So it's McMillan creating the chance, Robinson with the header. Guthrie with the header eventually from a corner and off the line in that one. So bright starts all round, but still no goals to tell you about, I'm afraid.
Conditions look pretty decent. We thought that because today and last night in particular, you know, the weather was really, you know, quite poor. But at the moment, it looks as if it's you know, a good night for football.
There's round one of the battle between Alfredo Morelos Stuart Finlay. It goes the way of Finlay, a free kick.
It's handball, I think, yeah. He gives it
given against. Is it a handball?
But I don't think it is, really. I mean, it has him on the top of the shoulder.
He does also have a tug on the shirt, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, but he's just pushing and pulling, and I think both players are like that.
Right, one more to get on this teaser. Since 94, 10 players capped by Scotland whose first name and surname both end in a vowel. Christoph Berra, Jackie McNamara, Ekechi Anya, Steve Clark, Jamie Mackey, Lee Wallace, Lee Wilkie, Robbie Stockdale, Ollie McBurney.
I need a clue, Gordon. I'm
he's the one that's he's still in and around the squad. He played in the last campaign. I'm not sure if he will, but he could very well be called up still. He's playing in the English Championship.
I'm not having any. I'm trying to think. Stephen Fletcher, Barry Bannon.
That's the thing. So we have been more used to him up here. He's played most of his football up here, but in the not too distant past, he's gone down.
Stuart Armstrong, no, it's not. It's
Championship.
A championship. I'm just trying to think of players that went down south. Just thinking out loud.
Derby County. Cardiff. Derby.
Yes.
Derby.
Derby.
He's playing Derby just now.
I feel like you've forgotten this guy's gone to Derby. If I tell you the club that he left to go to Derby, you'll get it.
You need to tell us.
Aberdeen.
From Aberdeen to Derby.
You can also spell this name without a vowel at the end, but he happens to have it.
Craig Bryson.
He's at Aberdeen.
What's the bit between your knee and your ankle called?
Graham Shinney.
Can we just say that's the worst clue I've ever had to give.
Jackie McNamara, all the very best.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Brilliant, he's in recovery, and let's hope he goes from strength to strength.
Absolutely.
Well said. Good football tonight as well, hopefully, and we'll give you all the reaction tomorrow night on Thursday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale. So make sure you join us for that. Hibs have taken the lead against Ross County. Mark McNulty picking up where he left off at the weekend. Cassie is up next. She'll look after you for the rest of the night.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.